This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
Good morning to you and to you and especially to you. And what a great lineup we have today on today's show. Okay, have you ever seen the studio so full?
By great lineup, you mean great as in like Alexander the Great with his armies.
Yeah, with the armies.
Yeah.
We have a great show. This is The Unview where we're the thin...
Thanks for looking at me when you said that.
The rich and the fabulous. But the most important thing is we never know who's that thin, who's that rich, but we always... Fabulous. That's the way we do it. We're going to be chatting about the Sun Met happening in Cape Town. It's the biggest event of the year, one of the biggest events. We'll chat to Etienne Kasuta, who is the Senior Global Brand Manager for GH Mum Champagne. Usain Bolt is in town, the Olympian, and lots of insane things are going to be happening there. We'll talk to them. We've got the ABBA show all the way in studio, all dressed up. We'll chat to Hannah, Jenna, Zach, Andre from the ABBA show, which rocked Johannesburg by storm at the opening night last week, and they have been doing since all over the weekend. The Mousetrap has just come up from Cape Town to rave reviews. Brilliant work. We're going to chat to Matthew Lotta, Michelle Maxwell, and Marco Winter. Winter. Thank you, Mark. Winter. Winter. Just get it right. You know, yeah. Ask a person's name before you go and ask.
You know, the heat in the Summer has been so ridiculous.
Shut up, you
messed
fool.
Up Alan's brain.
At least we've got a bit of cool. Mark's in the house. And then we went, Nathan and I, off to see James Morrison at Monte Casino. He's going to be in Kirstenbosch on Saturday. And I was blown away by the opening act.
Yeah, I thought James Morrison was an interesting closing act, actually.
I thought he was a great closing act for the Stone Jets. And they go off to Cape Town, so I thought, we have to get them in before they leave on Saturday. So they're in as well. We have got 10 people in studio. It's going to be great. But let's get the show on the road. Let's go off to Cape Town to talk about the phenomenal Sun Met, which happens this weekend. Etienne Kasuta, Senior Global Brand Manager for GH Mum Champagne. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
What a week. This is the event of the year.
What a week.
The event of the year.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a phenomenal week, and there's so many more surprises to come. It's going to be an incredible weekend, I can tell you that.
We can reveal that, let me tell you, last year it was incredible when we had a black helicopter land in the middle of the race course. Usain Bolt gets off the helicopter. He launches a phenomenal new champagne. This is last year. He then ends up, because he does this on the side, DJing for the party. Now, we're talking about the Olympian, the fastest man in the world. And then, of course, Miss Universe walks in, Miss World walks in, Dynamo the magician walks in from. It was just unbelievable. And this is what we expect from Pernod Ricard. Etienne, tell me about what we can expect this year.
Oh, well, you know, last year we sure had a cracker, and we had our chief entertainment, Usain Bolt, come down to South Africa for his very first time ever. He had never been to South Africa. And mm-hmm. I can tell you, he had the time of his life. I spoke to him a couple of months ago in France, actually, when we were doing some shoots over there. All he had in mind was Cape Town, South Africa, and how he really wanted to come back. And so we made it happen. I can tell you that he's been incredibly excited, and he is landing today in South Africa, in Johannesburg. We're together in Johannesburg with our chief entertainment officer, then Usain Bolt, for GH Mum today for a big global announcement. It's not just him coming to South Africa for any reason. He's coming down as the global announcement of a new project we started together with between Mum and Usain Bolt 2 years ago. And so we're doing a big announcement today in Johannesburg. And, of course, this big launch at the Sun Met celebrated with Mum on Saturday in Cape Town.
So we'll be covering that wonderful event. We can't wait to at the Maslow here in Johannesburg is the big announcement. Can you reveal some of this announcement to us? Or not yet? It needs to be announced.
Well, we're announcing the big surprise tonight, and I don't want to take away from Bolt himself, you know. I don't want to get in trouble with him. I want to make sure that he is the one announcing this project that we've done together with the Maison Mum and him.
But if you announce it,
I can tell you it's been the collaboration for 2 years now. We've created something together, so the announcement will be tonight. And he's coming down from Jamaica, actually flown directly from Jamaica to be in South Africa this weekend. And what we can expect this weekend at the Sun Mets with Mum is really, again, a weekend of amazing festivities, more surprises, amazing races, and it's going to be a crazy party.
Etienne, added to that, of course, a lot of local personalities will be wined and dined by you.
Yes, we'll have all of the creme de la creme, I think, of South Africa.
Name some people.
A few internationals. Well, we have our mum squad, we call. You know, we've got our master ceremony, Mini Lamini, who will come down from Johannesburg as well to Cape Town this weekend. We have Muzi Mabena. We have Somizi, who will be there as well. We have tons of South African celebrities who will be attending. You know, it's been quite something trying to manage the guest list this year. Last year we made I think a big impact, and we've had a lot of requests to be at the Mum Paddock Club this weekend. Unfortunately, we can't accommodate everybody. We wish we could. We wish we could have the entire race course become the Mum Paddock Club in the future, but it's going to be an incredible event. I can tell you that.
Etienne, I want to congratulate you. You move off after 5 years in this particular role. You've been here for 20 years. You're a French South African. And you move on to become the senior global brand manager in France. Congratulations. What a way to carry the flag all over the world.
Thank you. Yeah. And, I think it's a testimony of what everybody's doing here in South Africa and the impact that we're having globally. I think it's phenomenal to see a lot of South Africans going overseas to really kind of fly the flag with the great work that's been done in South Africa. It's testimony to how South Africa is really leading the way in a lot of things today.
Etienne, I'm going to leave you there. We'll be playing that announcement next week and also some of the interview we did from last year with Usain Bolt. That'll be happening next week on the show. We look forward to seeing you on Saturday. And, of course, if you're not in that particular paddock, there's general access everywhere. It's still going to be a huge rave. You can gamble your life away. Every Lebanese person will be there, and Greek, so that's a good thing. I'll see all my cousins, which is always excellent. And of course, it's fabulous, and all the designs, and it's at a new level. Since you guys have taken over sponsorship with Sun International and Investec, it's gone to another level, because it was really, I'm not being ugly, it wasn't great before, so it's a whole new thing. It's the oldest horse race in South Africa. It's like going off to Ascot. So, Etienne, thank you for joining us. We'll chat to you soon and do some more interviews next week. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I was very excited to announce Bolt's next victory tonight. So
can't wait.
Look out.
We'll look out for that. And, of course, Sia will be coming on behalf of Gareth Clough for the morning show tomorrow. And, then of course, we'll pick up those interviews. And that is Etienne Kasuto, the senior global brand manager for GH Mum Champagne. Don't miss the race.
I was going to say, had he announced it here, it would have been the first time a French South African has beaten a Jamaican at anything.
You're such a corn dog, you know that.
I know, but really it was worth a shot.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm very well, thank you.
Love's
good. I'm excited. I'm excited to get through all these guests.
I want to get through all this stuff today.
Yeah, don't forget about them. You know this big crowd of people in front of you?
Hannah Pocock, Jenna Ball, Zach Coombs, and Andre Benneker. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Yay.
Is that correct, actually, the names? Because he's not great with names.
I got it all right.
Yeah.
So Hannah.
Yes.
You play Agnita.
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, Jenna Ball, you play Frida.
Yes.
And then Zach Coombs, you play Benny.
I play Bjorn, yeah.
Oh, sorry, Bjorn. Sorry, I made a mistake there.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you.
He's been Bjorn again.
And Andre Venneker, you play Benny.
That's right.
Andre, you're from Kempton Park.
Kempton Park.
Traveling the world with Showtime Australia, playing... Yes. This phenomenal role.
I didn't even know Australia had a Kempton Park.
They're getting one soon.
At least you have a studio audience that lasts, did you? So that's incredible. And how did you get into this role? How did you get to do this?
Well, I've been involved with Showtime since last year. I was involved with the Tina Turner tribute show. And then end of last year, I got the call from management to ask if I would be interested in playing the role of Benny. And I was like, yes, definitely. Always been a fan of ABBA's music, and yeah, it's absolutely a dream come true.
Do you guys ever hear from the likes of ABBA? Do they see the show? Do they write about it? Have you met them?
No, we wish. We'd love to meet them.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've heard about us, but yeah, that would be the ultimate goal, I think, to meet the real thing. Yeah.
Why do you love their music? I mean, they're timeless.
I think the thing about the music is that it's so much fun to play, and everybody loves to dance to it. I think that's the main thing, the essence that gets everybody involved. And it's such a universal acclaim. I mean, the ABBA movies were just released this year. It just seems to reinvent itself all the time. So, and mainly it's just about fun.
It's an interesting movie when you saw Meryl Streep and Cher. And
then yeah.
I love it.
Sometimes when you really want to sell. You know, like you don't have enough billions. Let's make more. this is not like the Mamma Mia show that we see on Broadway or we see on the West End.
No.
This is different. Tell me why.
Because we are replicating ABBA. We're trying to take people back to the time when they saw them perform live on stage. And it's about sort of them, but keeping it modern. But yeah, it's not the musical side of it, as in musical theatre. It's just very much like bringing ABBA alive, and we replicate the costumes. And
I saw the show. It is fantastic, and I love that the word is not impersonate, it's emulate. And it is, and I think you emulate them very, very well. And I think it's you know, if you're an, it is, the crowd goes crazy.
It's
hard not to go crazy,
and it's
ABBA
hard
music.
Not to go crazy. Now it's before 9:15, and we do this with everybody. We really have, seriously, from Engelbert Humperdinck on the line, right to we make people sing. Sometimes the telephonic singing doesn't go very well. We have you live in studio, so I want Hannah, Jenna, Zach, Andre, to take us into a beautiful song. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Good day, everybody. Good morning to you. This is CliffCentral.com, and this is the Unview with Honey, the ABBA show. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Honey, touch me, baby. Honey, ooh, ah, ba. Honey, hold me, baby. Honey, ooh, ah, ba. You look like
Helen Ford solo.
You're the singer.
Oh, you make me dizzy.
Bravo, I love that.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
So, so cool. So, Zach, you're playing Bjorn.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll ask this question because I think it's so fascinating. Do you get into the character when you do you research them?
Yeah, with
the
days,
watch the docs and
stuff. Yeah, watch the documentaries and stuff. And with the days of YouTube, it's actually easy to access all the live footage of him running around on stage. He was actually a very active person up on stage, and it's fun to play him. Definitely, much so.
Do you get do you get different responses around the world as you travel?
Yes, we do.
Tell me about them.
Yes. Okay. Well, South Africa is so much fun. We love coming here because they're like wild, and we love whooping, cheering, all that kind of thing. We've just come back from doing New Zealand. They were insane as well. The general feedback tends to
Have you done the Asian countries, some of the Asian countries?
Not yet.
Not yet. So I think they may be on the cards.
Yeah.
That would be so cool.
Yeah, that would be.
We'd love to. Again, Canada go crazy. crazy for ABBA. Anywhere you go, really. I don't think we've ever had an audience that don't get involved or are quite tame. We like them when they're, you know, wild and shouting and things out and dressing up and singing and dancing. Ooh. We love that. When we get energy from the crowd, it gives, you know, it gives us that energy too. You know, it's we can feed off them as well.
So now it's so cool because you're at Empress Palace.
Yes.
And it's right close to your, where you were born.
Yeah.
Okay. Do your family come and watch you?
My family's coming this coming week, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And is it
watch.
Have they seen you before?
Yes.
Okay. They saw you in the Tina show.
Yes,
there, so.
They have, yeah.
But, I mean, it must be so cool that all your mates are like, well, I mean, you just came back from New Zealand, Canada. I mean, it's incredible stuff.
Yeah, the friends, I've got great support from, you know, my fellow musicians in South Africa, and friends always come and support. So
Was this your dream, to do something like this?
Yes.
What was your ultimate dream?
You know, anything related to the music industry. Like, I'm mostly a jazz pianist, so I'm not really a singer, dancer type person, but anything related in the music business. I think that's always been the dream. I've never wanted to do anything else besides music.
And how old were you the first time that you decided this is what you want to do?
I was about 7 years old. I knew exactly when I was seven I was going to be a musician, and no one changed my mind. And I mean, you had your tough times. You're like, okay, maybe you should do something different. Yeah. But
maybe
never.
There's no money.
I stick to it.
I'm poor. I'm sleeping in my car. Struggling actors and musicians.
That was Roxette.
Sleeping in their car. Yeah. Do you know how many people sleep in their car? Have you slept in your car?
Of course. I've been to festivals. I am tenting with the drug addicts.
Okay, well, that's a bit overshare. And ladies, has this been your dream? You're both from the UK. Where are you from in the UK?
Originally, I'm from Kent, down near London.
I'm from the north, near Leeds.
And how did you get into this? I mean, how did they cast you? How did this happen?
Well, for me, I'd started doing ABBA probably about 7 years ago, and I'd met Hannah, who was already part of the show, and when they wanted, they needed a new Frieda, you suggested me, didn't you? And,
so when you were saying you were doing ABBA, you were doing it solo?
I'd worked in other ABBA groups, like, okay. I'd been doing ABBA for a while.
For a while, 7 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, did she do all four? That's impressive.
Yes,
that's a lot of wig changes.
And how many times, how long have you been doing ABBA?
I've been with Showtime now for 6 years.
So 6, 7 years, the 13 years between you.
It's...
And what's your favourite ABBA song?
Do you know what, it depends what mood I'm in.
What mood are you in right now?
I'm in a happy mood.
Okay, so
what's your mood? I will probably say Mamma Mia, I just...
Okay, all right, well, you know what, now you're opening yourself. You opened the can. So let's see. I know that, can we have a little bit of it?
Yeah,
sure.
I love this. Yay, let's go. Plays at Empress Palace. Wow.
I have a question for them. Have you guys managed to stay out of the love triangle, or in this case, love square?
I knew this question was going to
pop up.
Yes.
It's part of ABBA's history. Yeah.
It is part of ABBA's history. Yes, we've managed to stay professional with the whole
thing.
So you're doing better than the originals, basically.
Yes, you can say that. Yeah.
When you think about them, they are, seriously, they were like the awesome foursome, and I mean that not just in some other terms, but if you think, I've got other guests that are sweating in the studio, wait till we get to you. Questions are much more interesting. But you think about that dynamic, and you think how they started. What do you love about their history in the beginning? What piece of information have you found out that the audience, that our audiences may not know?
Good question. I think it's just the fight for it. Like Benny and Bjorn, I know, wrote music together for many years before ABBA got together. I love the fact they were kind of all successful in their own right first. They weren't just nobodies who got a group together. Like Agnetha was known, she'd done a lot of successful work before ABBA, so when you then put the four of them together, it just became like an absolute powerhouse. They knew the industry, they knew what they were doing, and I think that's why they conquered it.
Yeah, my friend's a DJ at home, and he always loves to tell me, oh my goodness, have you heard the Frida dance remix? Apparently she does like a dance song.
Yes, yeah,
as well, and everything, like she's done dance records, and he always plays
how
it.
Old are they now? I mean, they're in the 60s,
60s, 70s.
Yeah, yeah, 60s,
sure. I mean, I think people think of them as, but they were like late 20s, early 30s when they started up. I mean, they'd already had a career before that, so.
Interesting stuff, eh? And do they speak? Oh, the boys do, because they produce stuff together.
I think they still do. I think that was another thing as well, is I've heard some interviews with Agnetha, and she says everyone thought we really fell out and that we didn't like each other and all this kind of thing. And yeah, probably had their moments where they were like, oh, you know, when you spend so much time with someone. But I think, you know, for her, mainly they said that she became a recluse, but I don't think she did. I think she just decided that I don't really want to be in the public eye as such, and I just kind of want to go in and live my life without it all over the papers and stuff.
Yeah, I watched a documentary, and she said that her and Bjorn, because of the kids, they meet up every Christmas and spend time as a family together.
They might not sit around the piano and sing ABBA, but
yeah, the papers
still get
the
on.
Papers like to make it.
Of course they do.
They probably sing Wham. most people at Christmas.
If they were here, I would ask them the question, but I'm going to ask you the question, because it's a long time you've been doing this. People hear you in the ABBA show, and then all of a sudden you're sitting around a piano in a home, or you don't really want to sing ABBA, do you? Or do you want to sing other things?
I think, yeah.
I would imagine, does ABBA want to sing their songs all the time? Does Barbra Streisand really want to continue singing People? I mean, or does she want to do something different? Does she want to sing a Carole King song, for example?
Like Andre said, like, we're all musicians and performers, and we love doing all kinds of music. You know, we love performing ABBA, but yeah, we do. We love to perform other stuff too. We have different interests as well, and different musical.
And when we're doing sound check at the theatre, we sometimes like to just sing anything.
Yeah, a bit of George Michael, you know. Yeah. What else have we sang before?
Really, do they?
A bit of reggae.
I'm kind of like a musical jukebox sort of thing. I just play random stuff. I think we broke out a Backstreet Boys song.
And really? Barbie Girl as
and
well.
And Barbie Girl as well. Oh, you want to hear
it? It's hilarious.
They're so good getting it. Don't I opened the door.
Oh, everybody. It was Barbie Girl.
Oh, no.
I got it. This is so cool.
We'll just have to do the chorus.
Hannah Pocock, yeah. Jenna Ball, Zach Coombs, Andre Benica. Go with I'm a Barbie Girl.
No. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm a Barbie Girl in the Barbie world.
Everyone is here.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party. Come on, Barbie, let's go party. Come on, Barbie, let's go party. Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
Wanna go for a ride, kid?
Jump on in.
Always.
You have no idea what you've just opened up.
I'm loving it. While we have some time, what's another one? Let's go with it. Come on.
Aren't they also Swedish?
Backstreet Boys.
I want Bobby Google the
I want Backstreet Boys.
I want to see Backstreet Boys. Everybody. I want to hear Backstreet Boys.
Everybody. 1, 2, 3. Everybody. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, we're back again.
All right.
We can carry on if you want.
He is going to.
That's
I'll be middle-aged Nick Carter.
This is the interview. You never know what you're going to get on the show. We're gonna get some new guests in, and we're going to come back to you guys. Everyone knows we should be singing thank you for the music at the end. We all sing it together. We're all grabbing our mic. Get ready for it. The ABBA show is happening at Empress Palace. It is really, really great, actually. Yeah. And I've got to tell you, if you love the music and you want to have fun, it's people must do... You know, I just think to myself, the VH1 is cool, and a CD is great. But to see live music... and dance with other people and go crazy. I think that's a jewel of performance.
I think that's the essence of music, really, is to actually see it done live. Mm.
And listen to proper
proud to do it live, yeah.
Love you guys. Thank you very much. We'll get you in a moment. Hannah Pocock, Jenna Ball, Zach Coombs, and Andre Beneker, who star in the ABBA show. Off you go, and the mousetrap comes in.
Helen, just split up. Just split up ABBA, just like that.
Later on in the show, we're going to have the Stone Jets. They opened for James Morrison, and they're really cool. Everybody's sitting down. Grab a microphone. Grab a headphone. This is how we do things. Thank you, everybody. Sit down. This is fun. This is. Thank you. And I want to just tell you, if you are watching on our web cams and if you're on Instagram and stuff, that you can see our videos. They're all dressed up, by the way, in their kit. And they got up this morning and they did it. I think it was really great. Thank you for the effort. Love it. Love it when Showtime Australia gets all the Beatles dressed up and Freddie dressed up and Michael Jackson came in. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? It's really good.
It's also because they sent him to South Africa with one change of clothes. And that's it. Big white boots and blue spandex.
Yeah. And they look great. On that note, the Mousetrap is the longest running stage show in the world, on the West End in particular. It is based on a famous novel by Agatha Christie. Some interesting facts that I spoke about. Can you believe over 27,000 performances? 27,000 performances. And Mark Winter, Michelle Maxwell, and Matthew Lotter join me in studio. They are in the Mousetrap. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
Did you like the ABBA vibe?
It was what a start to the day. How can they sing at this time in the morning? Yeah. It must have been up since 3 o'clock.
I feel like we should be wearing our costumes or, we kind of feel a bit...
Oh, these aren't them?
A bit bereft. Yeah.
We're in mid-snow.
Naked. Yes.
He's playing Pinky in the Brain for the Mousetrap.
Well, I just think it's nice murder mystery music, don't you think?
I feel like solving a mystery. Good.
Yeah, it's nice.
See, this is what you never know what you're going to get, yeah. So Mark Winter, you're a veteran thespian, and of course you've come out to do the show. Mousetrap, why this? How long have you been? How many times have you performed this?
Never before. This is my first outing with this particular play. Okay, but I've been in 5 other Agatha Christie plays in the UK. Well, why did I come out here? Well, my eldest son lives here in Cape Town. Mm-hmm. He married a South African lady, and last year, just in fact. So since he's been out here, he's a musician. My wife and I and my other 2 children come out every year. Mm-hmm. And I was here for his wedding last March, and I happened to be at a lunch with the producer, and he said, would you like to come out and do a play? And when he proposed this, it was a strange coincidence, because 16 years ago, when Mousetrap was celebrating its 50th anniversary in London, I was offered this very same part. But I couldn't do it because I was committed to something else. And now, here we are, 16 years later.
In South Africa.
And yes, I am still old enough to play the part because it's an older man. Here I am playing that part of Paravicini, who is an Italian, in the play.
So the fates wouldn't let you not take
exactly.
This role.
Exactly. It was meant to come my way, I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me, from your point of view, what is... For people that have never seen it before, because a lot of people haven't, it could have been on. It's been on around for 50 years, but well, 66 years. Yeah. Sorry, actually. But now, if you think back on it, I mean, why should people see the show? What is so incredible about it?
It tells a wonderful story. Mm. It really gets you hooked because you do wonder who done it. But I think in our particular production, our director has focused quite a lot on interpersonal relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think, do you agree?
Yeah.
And I think that the characters have come out very nicely, and Agatha, whether she knew it or not, really wrote interesting interpersonal relationships. So it's quite rich. Mm. So you've got the storyline, we all look quite extraordinary, because he set it in the early 60s.
Mm.
So we've got great costumes, the set is lovely, and the lighting looks really beautiful. So I think it's quite visually appealing, intellectually appealing, and emotionally appealing.
And it's a
Can we just leave it at that?
A murder mystery.
Yeah, it's a murder
like
mystery.
Like Agatha Christie's really great at just plot. So, you know, you almost can't do a bad production of The Mousetrap, because you get in and it's all these incredibly strange characters, and you know someone's going to die and you know someone's done it, but you don't know the identities of who. So you spend half of the show just trying to figure out what's happening, and the rest of it trying to see how all these pieces are coming together, and you go, oh, it's got to be this person, or it's got to be this person. And when I saw it, and I was very fortunate to see it in London before I did the production, I did the 60th anniversary 6 years ago, and I saw the play before. And I sat there the whole time going, you've got to be able to figure out, because it's Chris. You kind of think that you know everything that she does and how she puts things together, and she still manages to surprise. Mm. She was just a genius.
She came up with a great twist. She has this wonderful knack, actually, of writing a thriller, building up the tension. Mm. And then it reaches a certain pitch, and then she throws in a black comedy line, mm-hmm. which breaks the tension, mm. so she can start to build it up again, which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. And all the characters in The Mousetrap, you said, why does it run so long? Well, they're very richly drawn three-dimensional characters. Mm. Sometimes they can be a bit two-dimensional, mm-hmm. but in this particular play, they are three-dimensional. Mm. It makes a lot of difference.
Fleshed out.
Somebody said to me, and I don't know if this is true, but the board game Cluedo, mm-hmm. is based on this particular book.
Is it? I didn't know that.
Obviously with different, that's where they got the inspiration for it.
Well, very possibly.
I never got past Snakes and Ladders.
Tiddlywinks.
The Mousetrap. The scene is set when a group of people are gathered in a guest house, Monkswell Manor, and cut off by a snowstorm. And to their horror, there is a murder in the mist.
Dun, 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 dun.
Who can it be? Dun, 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 dun. And one by one, they've got to. I mean, if you've seen, this is a very old book. I mean, if it's 70 odd or 80 odd years old. Mm. But if you think about it, we've seen these movies in the past that with, I think even Susan Sarandon was in one. And
Murder on the Orient Express.
We see this type of stuff. Well, again, another
Agatha Christie. Yeah.
But it's so clever to see that this is. It's so relevant. It's exciting, and that people from all ages can love it. Whether you love these type of older type of pieces or not, because it's murder, it's thrillers, it's great. So let's talk about some of the roles that you play. Tell me about Christopher Matthew, the role you play. Who is Christopher? Tell me about him.
gosh, I mean, it's kind of difficult to talk about anything in the show without revealing.
Don't reveal.
What's going to happen.
Don't reveal the show.
But,
know what happened?
I can.
They've seen it. They know what happened.
Okay. Say nothing. Christopher's a lovely character. I mean, he comes in, he's the first guest to arrive at the guest house. I mean, the one great thing about Mousetrap is it's, I think as Mark was saying, it really is a lovely mix between thriller and comedy. And it starts off with this beautiful couple who are starting out in a guest house, and they're really excited to get the guests in. And unfortunately, they seem to have attracted the oddest, most peculiar set of people that come in. There's Christopher Wren, who is a bit of a fop. He just loves everything, and he's in love with the furniture and the setting, and he just talks.
Is it very Matthew Lotter?
No, actually. It
sounds like it's based on Alan Ford.
You know, actually, yeah, it's a little bit of Alan thrown in there, you know. He's just sort of exuberant and takes over and runs around the house.
I can't wait to see the show.
And then you've got all these other characters. The great thing is that they're such strong characters, as Mark was saying, that they just can't help but collide with each other, and that's the really interesting part, is seeing this very strong, really great female characters, I think, which is wonderful. Mm. And a play that was written in, it went on stage in 1952, the same year that the Queen was coronated. So it's been on for forever. And there's these beautiful female characters that are running the show and strong.
And then Michelle Maxwell, Mrs. Mm. Boyle. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that role.
Well, she's an ex-magistrate. Mm-hmm. And what can I say about her without giving anything away? She's basically, nothing pleases her. Okay. She's critical of everything. She's very strong, very moaning, very whatever. No, she's horrible in actual fact. She's really horrible. But on the other hand, as with almost all the characters, she does have a denouement, if you know what I mean. So she also has a surprising emotional something that happens. That's what I'm going to say.
Michelle Maxwell, years in the business.
I'm afraid so. Or luckily so, whatever.
A loved, well-respected actress. So wonderful to have you with us. Thank you. Some of your greatest pieces that you can reflect on.
I will start with my first acting role, which was in 1973. Mm-hmm. And it opened this one of the earliest shows at the Space Theatre in Cape Town, which mm-hmm. is quite a seminal piece because it was the first non-racial theatre. Mm-hmm. So it had a lot. And Yvonne Briceland and all these wonderful, Ethel Fugard, etc. I was in a two-hander with the wonderful Bill Flynn, mm-hmm. if that rings a bell.
It was his 70th birthday, by the way, last week.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
God rest him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we did a Tennessee Williams two-hander called Outcry. Mm-hmm. And then 1,000 years later, in the early 2000s, I did Death of a Salesman with him, playing his wife, Linda Lohman, to his salesman. So those are lovely seminal mm-hmm. things. And I love playing, what's her name in Cabaret? Who is it? She's just left my mind, but she's...
Sally Bowles.
No, I didn't play Sally Bowles. I played the German for Monty von... All that lovely Kurt Weill-y stuff, you know?
I love it. I love you.
Great lyric.
I can't think of the character now, and she's so fantastic. Never mind. But that was wonderful to play as well.
So years of this, and it's wonderful to be...
Since musical theatre and acting has kept me alive...
What is your favorite song?
No, don't ask me favorite songs. It's too vast.
What's your favorite ABBA song?
What's your favorite?
More general.
Don't.
What is the first song you ever sang as a young girl?
Que sera, sera.
Ah. When I was. Do you know it? Did she? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, okay. Michelle Maxwell. This is welcome to Cliff Central. Isn't this the cool?
Oh dear!
If you can hum
it, keep my mouth shut. And I was just—I'm going to sing it in another accent.
This is.
I asked my mother, I was a little old, but I don't care. What shall I be? Will I be magic? Will I be free? I'm making up the words. This is what she said to me. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera.
Yay! Michelle Maxwell.
The musical mousetrap.
I have to tell you that every single person almost in this production is
sing.
Musical and can sing.
I know.
I mean, really.
I know. I've known Matthew.
Yeah, you see.
I've known Matthew for years. And I
don't give it away.
You were still not that many years.
What did it do, like last year?
but you were still getting into the industry.
Yeah, long time.
I know. We sat and we had tea one day and we spoke about it. It's very interesting. But it's good to see that you're on the...
Still here.
Well done.
Hanging on.
And good times and bad times. I've seen them all, and my dear...
You've still got it. Now, Mark Winter, you're still here.
I'm still here, believe it or not.
The West End.
Came for a wedding, never left.
Yeah. But, I mean, hold on. All over the West End. Tell me some of your greatest roles... On the West End.
Phantom of the Opera.
Yes.
Growl Tiger, Gus, and Buster for Jones and Cats. Mm-hmm. South Pacific, Emile Debeck.
Sure. Oh, my goodness.
Professor Higgins in My Fair Lady.
Mm. Best.
Yeah.
In fact, shall I stop?
Yes.
That's enough.
No, you shouldn't stop. You should start.
Yes.
You should sing a song from My Fair Lady.
Oh. Yes.
Like, why can't a woman be more like a man?
Oh, I couldn't remember that. It was years ago. That's a very complicated lyric.
Yes. But what a life. And I'm so happy that you've brought the talent and the experience to South African stages and to work with South African artists. Younger people like Matthew, for example. I'm just saying, it's wonderful to be able to learn.
Yeah, it's amazing to work with.
And he is such a mensch to work with. Mm-hmm. You have no idea. Because I've worked with quite a few people from London, with all due respect. And it's another story. This is a true gent.
We love that. That is humility.
I'll take my hat off now.
I'll take my hat off.
When you were sitting outside in the studio, he has like the one of the most famous West End actors, and I'm busy, and I think he's the financial analyst for the show after us. He's reading a book, and I'm like, oh, there's a financial guy. I'm sure he's okay. We're singing, running around. Abba's jumping on us. Well, not jumping on us, you know. The Stone Jet, and then here all of a sudden there's like, I love that. Mark, you look at the years in the business. What advice do you have for young people that they want to get into this business from around the world?
Follow your dream. Mm-hmm. That's it, really. Follow your instinct and follow your dream. Don't mix with the wrong people. Don't do things just for show, because quite often that goes wrong, and then you're seen as an egotist without anything else, you know. I think the old maxim, empty vessels make the most noise, is very apt.
Mm-hmm. When you look at your career and some of the greatest people that you've performed with, can you tell us some of the special moments?
Well, I think working with Joan Plowright, Laurence Olivier's wife, Lady Plowright, mm-hmm. was quite sensational. I did a play with her at Chichester Festival Theatre. Mm-hmm. She played the World War One heroine, Edith Cavell, mm-hmm. and she was sensational. And it was a tremendous thrill for me to meet Laurence Olivier every night, because he came to fetch her from the theatre. Mm-hmm. So that was really quite special. And he used to call everybody, "Hello, baby. How are you, baby?"
Really?
Yeah. And she was just a joy to work with. But I've worked with... Peter Wingard was a wonderful actor. I believe he came out here to do a couple of plays some years ago. Sensational actor. I did a couple of Noel Coward plays with him. Oh gosh, I've worked with so many people, it's very difficult to actually pinpoint anybody. But I suppose as a young person starting out, my very first play was in 1970 mm-hmm. in London. A wonderful play called Conduct Unbecoming, which was a film... in the film, Michael York played mm-hmm. the part that I played on stage, but I still like him as an actor. Mm-hmm. I think that was a tremendous springboard for me to be offered other roles following from that, because it was hugely successful. I went to Australia with it for 6 months as well, to Sydney and Melbourne. And it's been such a wonderful one springboard has led to another. I've been very, very fortunate. But basically it came about through Hit Records. I mean... The greatest springboard for me was Venus in Blue Jeans, which has been a stepping stone to practically everything I've been offered. Mm. I think because the title is remembered by people, and I think the other thing is, you asked about advice, is don't be afraid of challenge. Mm-hmm. Always accept challenge. You know, keep moving forward.
You said your sons got married in Cape Town and you came out. Is it hard to be a father?
Yes, in a word.
I mean, it must be. You're on the road.
Yeah. Well, we have. I have to. My wife and I have three children, and they, as Michelle said, they're all musical, which is wonderful. But we don't all get together and sing songs around the piano. I wish we did, because they all play lots of instruments.
Really?
But they like to just do their own thing. But they've made a career and a life from their music, which is wonderful. And I'm very grateful that music has provided a great life for myself and my family. And it's also very satisfying and, again, constantly challenging.
And, of course, when your name's on the big lights on the West End, what an incredible... That's been an incredible feeling.
Well, it is. But, you know, it's very strange because having had success as a recording artist in England, and then I was offered this play, Conduct Unbecoming, and there I was in Shaftesbury Avenue with my name up in lights. And I was walking up there one day to go to a matinee, to play the matinee, mm-hmm. and I bumped into a music publisher, and he said, "Hi, Mark, I haven't seen you for such a long time. What are you doing these days?" And I was standing right beneath my name in lights on Shaftesbury Avenue.
Brilliant.
So I just went, "Well, I'm there." And he went, "Oh, my God." It's a different avenue, you know, pop music, theatre, television. They're all different avenues. So that was fun.
Have you ventured into film and television?
A little bit, not very much. I'm mostly a theatre actor.
And is that your love, your first love?
It is, because it's more communicative. You meet people, you get involved with, you work with some really nice people, and you share all the time, which is very, very important. It's a team thing. And also, you start the job, and it's from A to Z. You can't make a mistake, because you're out there, you know, if it all goes wrong, you've got scrambled egg all over you. With film and television, it's much more technical. I mean, I've done television and a little bit of film, and you're just at the point of where you're going to emote or whatever, and suddenly a technical person will say, "Hang on, we need a half-hour break. I've got to resolve that problem.
Yes.
We've got lights problem. We've got to change this. We've got to change that." And it stops you. Now, that, of course, in film and television, is an art form in itself, because you've got to then be able to come back at the level you were at before you were stopped. But I prefer theatre.
Now, the Mousetrap starts at Peter Turin's Monte Cassino Theatre. That's on the Sunday the 27th. Well, it actually starts now.
Preview tonight.
But Sunday's opening. And it's going to be very intriguing. I think it's... the reviews were phenomenal in Cape Town. Great audiences. And how long was the run there for?
Six weeks.
So you went through Christmas and all that.
Yeah. We've got lots of young people.
And
that's
the summer
too.
In Camps Bay. Yeah. Which is quite profound. Yeah.
Which is very interesting to play Dead of Winter in the middle of Dead Summer.
Because we all come on snowed up.
Trying
to
look cold. Yeah.
I have to say, I've just remembered the character. Just for my sanity, can I tell you?
Michelle Maxwell, please.
It was Fräulein Schneider. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I just thought I'd share that.
Well remembered. You see, actors do have a memory.
It started in 1973, years in the business. It's completely brilliant. And I really want people to go and see that. How long is it running for?
Till 3rd of March, six weeks.
6 good weeks to see The Mousetrap. It's Agatha Christie's, and I cannot wait to see it.
I kind of want to go tonight, actually.
Do you want to go tonight? Yeah. I'll get you tickets to go.
The interesting thing is everyone's hiding something.
Yeah.
And you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So everyone's a suspect.
Who's a role within a role.
Who's having an affair? Who's in the closet? Who's doing this?
It comes out during the play, but
who actually is a nice person? You know? we're going to chat to you guys in a moment as well, but I'm going to ask you to flip chairs again. Mark Winter, thank you so much. It's an honour to have are you a sir yet?
No, I'm not.
When are we going to make you?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm a fan of gongs, really. Sometimes, you know, sometimes
how do you like
sometimes they're given to the wrong people. I think, why have they got an award? What have they done? Because, you know, in our business, you're very lucky if you're successful. It's a bit of a vainglorious profession, let's face it.
Over the years, have you had the Queen come and watch you?
I've had Princess Diana and the two princes when they were younger sat on the front row when I was playing Phantom, and they were the first people to get up when I came on to take my call, which was
really
exciting.
And you played Phantom?
Yes, indeed.
Sure. How cool is that? That is so cool.
Yeah. The only reason you didn't know that is he wasn't dressed like the Phantom when he arrived.
and he's
dressed more like a financial analyst.
That's role playing.
Would you like to do a little note of it?
A Phantom? Oh, no.
Say you love me.
It's a big sing.
Okay, it is a big sing.
Well, it's a big sing.
It's such an honour to have
really
you all in the studio. And of course, veteran actress Michelle Maxwell and Matthew Lotter. Thank you for being with us, but we're going to do something fun a little bit later. So off we go. And
thank you.
I love it. I'm so happy to have you all here with us. I mean, it's so cool. What a great show. My name is Alan Ford with the one and only Nathan Rowe. And this is The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. And, of course, we're on cliffcentral.com if you're listening live. We're also on the video. The video things are moving. It's all very interesting. I don't know how it all works. You'll never think that I'm a television and radio producer, but I don't know how all the functionality buttons work.
It's all very modern here at Cliff Central. Now, only the latest and greatest.
Only the latest. Actually, I clap my hand and the thing moves. It's very cool. We went together. We had quite a fun time.
Yes, I was your plus one for James Morrison.
I wanted to say that James Morrison is still on this evening, and then he opens in Kirstenbosch on a Saturday. That is going to be just something so beautiful. So if you're off to Cape Town, go and experience that. That's going to be so cool. It's always interesting because you're sitting in the Teatro, which is an 1,800-seat theatre, and then an opening act. And we don't see opening acts as we used to in the past. Those days are over where you get Lady Gaga coming out with opening acts. Someone opened for Whitney. Someone used to open for Michael. Somebody opened for when the big stars came out.
Yeah, they often bring their opening acts with them. Yeah.
I mean, I remember Little Sister opened, I think, for Bryan Adams. So it was so great when we haven't seen it for years because obviously there's not money, enough money. And then all of a sudden, there to the stage arrives these three gentlemen from Cape Town. And they're called the Stone Jets. And what did you say? That James Morrison was the closing act for them.
Yeah, no, and well...
The audience went mad.
So I've seen the Stone Jets once before. I went for dinner at a place called Milk Bar in Rivonia. And there was this band playing. And, you know, you walk past the band, you're like, oh, yeah, nice background music. Mm. But there's something about Given's voice that is so mesmerizing that you can't... It can't be background music, ever.
And his name is Given Nkanyane.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
I had to get you late yesterday afternoon because I knew that you guys were going off to Cape Town. So I'm so happy. We'll get you in more and more.
Right.
We'll get you all in more and more. I'm so happy we got to squeeze you into the program. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you for squeezing.
At this weight and this last December holiday, I can squeeze it in nothing. But on that note, what a wonderful... And I want to welcome Manfred Closer. Okay. Thank you for coming in. I know that your drummer's not with us today, but the Stone Jets are here. And so Gavin, do you know what? The way we're going to do this is we're going to have to just open with a song. And the song is I Can't Live Without You. And I want us to get the vibe to understand what you do.
All right.
And so this is what you did. You walked on stage and this is what happened. Take it away.
Can't remember, oh, how I met you late in December. Time was frozen, love was amazing. I didn't need nobody, but love gets the same thing. I can't live without you. Remember. I don't let me, I don't let me go, I don't let me, 'cause I can take it. I don't let me, I don't let me go, I don't let me, 'cause I can live without you, baby, I can live without you. Oh, won't you tell me how did we go wrong? Was it frozen? I can't remember. Oh, how I met you late in December. I can't live without you. Hey, I can't live without you. Ooh, hey, remember. Remember, when did we go wrong? Won't you tell me how did we go? 'Cause time. I can take it. I don't let me. I don't let me go. I don't let me. 'Cause I can live without you. Remember, baby, I can live without you. Ooh, 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 ooh.
That is I Can't Live Without You. Stone Jets, thank you for coming to sing that. That is for all those people that are in relationships and finding difficulty with love. Because you know what, sometimes you just can't live without someone.
One thing I could not forget about your guys' performance. You have a song, I think it's Take Me Back. Or
Oh, Feeling Good.
Is it Feeling Good?
Yeah.
And the way you say the word back, it's got a very special little back.
Give us that little piece.
Feeling good was only 5 years back.
That's the one.
Yeah, that is it.
See, only in South Africa do you get like, back, the word back. Yeah, the click is silent. But not for you. You found it.
Given, Manfred, tell us very quickly, how did the Stone Jets find one another?
We were at a studio, we were recording some songs, And Manfred was the session guitarist. I had just written some songs thanks to a break, what you call it, a heartbreak. And then Manfred was like, cool, let's form a band. And there you go, Bob's your uncle. You wanted the quick version.
Yeah, that was a really good. And how long's the band been going for?
For 6 years now.
Yeah, 6 years.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I can't believe you haven't been on the show before. Promise me you're going to phone me, you're going to come. We're going to do a whole hour of like rocking and rolling here.
I'm going to send you some pictures because I've got your number now.
Yeah,
we'll communicate and then, of yes, we'll be back.
I want you guys back. And I'm sorry that we could only give it. I wanted to just to experience it. We were blown away. The audience was blown away. And I loved your original music and your work. And I'm so sorry I haven't seen you. But I look forward to coming. Where do we find you?
Yeah, you guys have some cool gigs coming up. Aren't you playing The Gardens?
Oh, yes, we do. We are playing Kirstenbosch.
I love that.
In Cape Town, obviously, because there's no Kirstenbosch in Joburg. No. And then...
we've got Imre Jadam.
We have Walter Sisulu.
You've got Walter? Mm. Okay.
Botanical.
Manfred, help a brother out here.
Saturday, Kirstenbosch.
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah. Tonight, Monte Cassino's last gig with James Morrison.
Yeah.
And then...
In Cape Town. Sorry, we've got a lot of shows in Cape Town because obviously we're based there. We've got Sir Thomas Brewery. We've got...
Where do we find this information?
Oh, stonejets.com. That's STONEJETS.com.
Stonejets.com.
Yes.
And that's www.stonejets.com.
Yeah.
Okay, you see, that's a proper luck. You've got a commercial there.
And Facebook and the Twitter and the Insta.
And the Twitter everything. And the Facebook.
Are you guys all Stonejets on there? Huh?
Insta Grizzle, yes. We're like STONEJETS. So at Stonejets on Insta. And then on the Twitter. We are on at Stonejets as well. One word.
So
and
you then that's
not
how
stoned.
Cool. They don't
a
even
lot of people say stoned jets. I'm like, why?
Maybe your song.
Where did the name
chill
come from? Hold on, where that is a cool one.
I'm gonna let the man with a lot of hair say that.
Yes.
Sponsored by Pantene.
Thank you, Head and Shoulders.
So we wanted a song. A song. Sorry, I'm still sleeping. We wanted a band name that meant something, but was also quite unique. And we were struggling to find a band name. Every time we found something nice, it was already taken somewhere in the world. Someone has already used that name. And then one day we just decided, okay, today we're going to get a band. I mean, we wanted something with meaning. So we broke it up in two words. The stone part of Stone Jets is to always keep us grounded, remind us where we come from. And then the jet part is to always fly away and follow our dreams and do whatever we want to achieve. Mm-hmm. So it's always a reminder where we come from and where we are going.
I thought it was because a stone jet would really battle to fly, and it was just like this ironic, beautiful thing.
That too is true.
It's all about interpretation, exactly. Art, you know, what art is in the eye of the person listening to it.
Sometimes we've got heavy emotions that we need to let free, and it feels like throwing like a stone jet.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there we got that. That's the Stone Jets. And let me do it again. www.stonejets.co.za and find out where they are and where we can get your music all over everywhere.
Yeah, iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, Deezer, everywhere.
Yeah. I'm gonna Joe Burgers, go watch them tonight.
I'm going to phone you randomly and you know, go and see them with Josh.
Josh
James
Morrison.
James Morrison.
Because he's just come up, James Morrison's just come out with a song with Josh Stone. That's why it's on my head.
Joshua Stone is someone completely.
Guys, there's a lot of things going through my brain as you control the show.
Josh Stone.
I'm watching a clock. On that note, I've just got to just say, well done. I'm so proud. And I can't wait to see you in Cape Town. We're going to be hooking up. I'm going to phone you randomly if I just want a song. And
it's fine.
Pick something fun.
It's fine. Now I know who to block.
Yeah,
and they're also very expensive. Just give him your price.
He's good actually. I may need a new co-host one day. Don't worry. I'm the giver you given. I thank everyone for coming into studio. Don't miss the wonderful Sun Met happening on Saturday. It's happening in Cape Town, Kenilworth. That's the spot. The ABBA show is happening at Empress Palace. Runs for the next couple of weeks, which is going to be brilliant. We've got the Mousetrap that's just come up from Cape Town, runs up until the 3rd of March at the Peter Drin Theatre. The Stone Jets are all over the country, all over the Cape, but they're performing with James Morrison, so catch them. And with 1 minute left to go, because we're getting into trouble, I think we need to all sing a song, so everybody stand.
The ABBA National Anthem.
Everybody come grab a mic, lift a mic. Are we all ready for this one? Yeah. And I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for the space. And we all can sing. And I want to thank you for the music. Can we take it, everybody? 3, 2, 1, cue.
So I say thank you for the music, the sounds I
to me. This is The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous here on CliffCentral.com. Goodbye.
This is CliffCentral.com.